for the next few weeks, the Gospels will show Jesus embroiled in controversy with his contemporaries over the issues of marriage and divorce, commitment and discipleship, ambition and service. 2,000 years later, none of these issues have lost their relevance, and we are invited to allow the challenge of the Scriptures to speak to our individual and collective beliefs and experiences. Everywhere and for all time, it has been proclaimed that the family is the bedrock of society and that marriage is at the heart of it all. But the concept of marriage has changed dramatically over the centuries. In previous eras, marriage was more often seen as an arranged act between families rather than a romance-based union. We also have to note that in the time of Jesus, life expectancy was much shorter than now, and that when the Gospels were written, there was the expectation of an imminent second coming, which made entering into new relationships seem irrelevant. In looking at marriage, philosophers, theologians, anthropologists, sociologists, and psychologists all concur that marriage is one of the most fulfilling of all relationships. You don't need experts to tell you that. You know it either from your own lived experience or from seeing the lives of your parents, family members, and close friends. You also know, however, that the challenge of living as a couple is also an extremely demanding task, because marriage is not the combination of two robots, but the union of two individuals with distinct personalities. Two becoming one is an ideal that requires constant effort and attention. In the book of Genesis, we read of the creation of man and woman. The idea of woman coming from Adam's rib has caused some people to claim that this places man in the dominant position, but nothing could be further from the truth, which is that God is in charge of us all, and that men and women are created equally and equally created by God. I like the image used by one rabbi who explained that the woman was not created from man's feet to be below him, nor from his head to be above him, but from the place closest to his heart, to be alongside him, to be equal to him, to be loved by him. In our Judeo-Christian tradition, men and women are called to leave behind their most secure relationship, the bond between parent and child, in order to become so totally united with their spouses that together they become one flesh, one living person. This is the ideal set out in our first reading, and it is reiterated and affirmed in our Gospel. The dispute in today's Gospel with the Pharisees springs from verses taken from the 24th chapter of the book of Deuteronomy, where we read, "When a man, after marrying a woman and having relations with her, is later displeased with her, he finds in her something objectionable, and therefore he writes out a bill of divorce and hands it to her, thus dismissing her from his home." The vagueness of the phrase, "something objectionable," led some religious authorities to authorize divorce on such frivolous grounds as poor cooking or speaking ill of the in-laws. Jesus' response, therefore, is not only a defense of women suffering as a result of this over-lenient interpretation, but it cuts to the quick of the matter by saying that Moses gave the original exception because of their hardness of heart. Divorce was permitted only because the hearts of the people had dried up. The ideal of two becoming one is not undermined, but confirmed by Jesus. In our contemporary culture, there are, I believe, still a lot of dried up hearts. They are the cost of an overzealous worship of two elements in society, individualism and consumerism. To be sure, respect for the individual is the cornerstone of our American way, and capitalism has brought us previously unheard of prosperity. but extreme individualism and unrestrained consumerism produce distorted people who seek self-sufficiency over unity, competitiveness over cooperation, and consumption over caring for others. Getting ahead becomes the essence of life. Profit is the measure of success, and personal freedom is guarded so fiercely that a commitment is seen as a threat to independence and not the expression of a mature personality. I want to address a few words directly to the married people among us. I know that I'm preaching to the choir when I point this out, but I do want to emphasize the importance of resentment to a world that badly needs powerful witnesses to commitment and unity. We need to see the strength of your passion for each other. We need to see your determination struggle together to overcome the obstacles that come between it and a perfect union. Above all, we need to see your joy. God has joined you together, so allow no one and no thing to come between you. Demonstrate for us that the goal of your Christian family is neither of power nor money, but about showing your children and each other everything that is good and true and beautiful. At the end of today's gospel, Jesus takes children in his arms and blesses them. He tells us that we must welcome God's kingdom like little children. We can only do that if our hearts are not hardened, but open and loving. Let us then ask our good God to help us to be open to each other and to all the gifts that God has in store for us. Please stand.